A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. On that day, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. Not by appearance shall he judge, nor by hearsay shall he decide, but he shall judge the poor with justice and decide aright for the lands afflicted. He shall strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Justice shall be the band around his waist, and faithfulness a belt upon his hips. Then the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion shall browse together, with a little child to guide them. The cow and the bear shall be neighbors. Together their young shall rest. The lion shall eat hay like the ox. The baby shall play by the cobra's den. And the child lay his hand on the adder's lair. There shall be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as water covers the sea. On that day the root of Jesse set up as a signal for the nations, the Gentiles shall seek out, for his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Justice shall flourish in his time, and fullness of peace forever. Of the needy.
St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, whatever was written previously was written for our instruction, that by endurance and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the guide of endurance and encouragement grant you to think in harmony with one another, in keeping with Christ Jesus, that with one accord, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another then, as Christ welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I say that Christ became a minister of the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, to confirm the promises to the patriarchs, but so that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. With you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath. Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to your father, do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance. But the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn. With the chaff, he will burn with unquenchable fire. The Gospel of the Lord. There is in our church another way of holding hands in prayer. All of us are familiar with the traditional way, hands folded together, fingers pointing up to the heavens, expressing the lifting up of our minds and hearts to God. But now, many people also like to pray with open hands. The priest has always been asked to pray the Mass this way. Some people like to say the Lord's Prayer with hands extended. And all of us are welcome to prayerfully approach communion with open hands. One hand open and empty, placed upon the other. But what do open hands express? Very simply, they express our need for God. It's a way of telling God we don't have it all together, that we don't have all the answers, that we are open and empty and hungry and thirsty and ready and willing to receive what God has to give. But sad to say, too many people are not open. They stand before God this way. Instead of reaching out for what God wants to give, they reach out to the world, grab what they can, and hold on tight. Much of what they hold on to are the things of this world. Money, property, things that money can buy. They take more and more and more, much more than they really need, to the harm of the planet and the neglect of the poor. But people, what also people hold on to are ideas, assumptions, prejudices, even opinions on religion. And so we have John the Baptist asking us to open up. Open up because there's one mightier than he coming, that the Holy Spirit is moving, and that the kingdom of God is at hand. But here we have these religious leaders who are not open. They're coming for John the Baptist's baptism, but because they're stuck on their own ideas, they expect to escape from the wrath to come on the grandfather clause. We have Abraham for our father, they say. The covenant that's good enough for Abraham is good enough for us. They forgot that Abraham was actually looking for the new and eternal covenant. And that's when Christ would pour out his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Yes, some people stand before God with closed fists. They just won't let go and let God lead them on. Question for us Catholics at the beginning of every Advent is, how do we stand before God? Do we stand before him like this? Or like this? Or do we stand this way? If the truth be told, most of us probably stand before God like this. Yes, there is part of us that is open to God, that seeks to do his will, that longs for the Holy Spirit, that wants the kingdom of God to come. Isn't that why we come to church Sunday after Sunday? But then there's another part of us. Another part of us that says, hey, if I don't take care of myself, who will? And if it's a matter of myself taking care of me and mine, I'm going to do it in the best way I know how. I'm going to do it my way. So we're divided. Our faith is half-hearted. We live our lives by half measures. And so it's no surprise that we're worried about many things, about our health, about our loved ones, about our future. Mother Church would very much like our faith to be wholehearted, to enjoy life to the full, and instead of those fears and worries, to enjoy more of the peace and joy that Christmas is meant to bring. And so that's why every Advent, she encourages us to take to heart the message of John the Baptist. But more than that, she would also like us to turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary. We all know her story, how the angel Gabriel came to her and asked her to go from being a virgin to becoming a mother. We are told that she was deeply troubled. Deeply troubled. You have found favor with God, the angel said. And she pondered that word. And then she let go of all her fears in order to be open to God's plan for our salvation. Let it be done to me, she said. I am the handmaid of the Lord. And now, having brought forth Christ for the salvation of the world, she is now eager for the Christ that was born in our hearts through baptism to be reborn at Christmas through a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And time for that is right now. As Catholics, we consider May to be the month of Mary, October to the month of the Holy Rosary. But her season is Advent. Pope St. John Paul VI, in his letter on renewal of a Marian devotion, points out how prominent Mary is in the liturgies that lead up to Christmas, especially this coming week. Tomorrow, we celebrate her Immaculate Conception, honoring her as the patroness of our whole country. And then 4 days later, We honor her as Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of all the Americas. Yes, Mary is Our Lady of Advent. And we can do no better during the season than to pray the Rosary. The Rosary, which allows the Word of God, as revealed in the mystery of faith, to shape our lives as it did hers. So the parish mission consists of preaching the Word and prayer, that this Word may become flesh in our own lives. The details of the mission are in the parish bulletin. So please be sure you have a copy at home. I want to point out one detail, and that is on Friday, following the penance service of Wednesday evening, when priests will be hearing confessions. I myself will be hearing confessions each hour on the hour from 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon in that confessional. I've been designated as a missionary of mercy by Pope Francis, and so I'm eager to be of service. So that's going to be Friday, each hour on the hour, from 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. I'll be there to serve you that sacrament so helpful for a joyous celebration of Christmas. Come to the mission. Beginning on Tuesday, following the celebration of the Immaculate Conception. Yes, there'll be morning mass, light refreshments in Gallagher Hall, and a brief informal talk. But the main service will begin at 7 o'clock. Six. We'll have a candlelight procession and healing prayer. And teens and school-agers, you may come too. How wonderful when the young church is willing to join the whole church in preparing for a joyous celebration of Christmas. Tuesday evening, 6 o'clock, here at the Basilica, let us be here together. But in the meantime, right now, we want to pay attention to those who are eager to become Catholic Christians and to live their faith within this faith community.